This is HPR episode 2044 entitled, Bring on the Power. It is hosted by Anibil and is about 19 minutes long. The summary is, in this episode Anibil talks about power supplies used for electronics work.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi, this is Ken. Just a quick reminder not to forget to go and vote for HPR on the podcastawards.com website. Thank you.
Hello, this is NY Bill, and I'm back with more electronics goody talking stuff. Today I was going to talk about power supplies and getting power to your project. Yeah, years back, I mean, when I was a kid, I would use batteries. That's all I had, you know, sitting around. So like AA's at 1.5 volts, and you can stack them up until you get to whatever voltage you need, or 9 volts I used a lot, but when you start getting into like LEDs and electronics, you're going to want 5 volts or 3.3 volts. 9 volts is going to be too much for you. The next inexpensive step, I guess, would be to go find wall warts, which come with, you know, all your devices, that black square that you plug into the wall, and then it goes into your device. I'm sure your phones have them. I'm looking around the room right now. There's a lot of equipment that has a wall wart. So the transformer's right there at the mains. And it transforms the mains voltage. It's 120 here in the States. And it'll transform it down to whatever voltage that device needs. It could be, you know, it could be 3 volts. It could be 5 volts, 9 volts, 12 volts, whatever. The wall wart is matched to the equipment that it's being sold with. But if you get a small collection of these, and I have it down in the basement, I have a milk crate that's just full of old wall wart power supplies. And sometimes I got to go dig through there and find the right one. Recently, I did that. I did a HPR about an oscilloscope kit, a DSO-138, sometime back. And when I wanted to bring that device to the lug, it wanted 9 volts. So I went digging through that milk crate to see if I could find a 9-volt wall wart that would fit the socket of the kit so we could troubleshoot it at the lug. I did have 9-volt wall warts, but I didn't have one with the proper barrel socket on it. Another thing they sell, I haven't seen one in years, but I do have one around somewhere, but I lost the attachments. What it is, it's a wall wart power supply, and on the power supply it has a switch, and I think mine runs from 3.3 volts up to 24 volts, and it hits steps in between. So 3.3, and I think there was 5 maybe or 6, and then a 9 volt, and then something a little higher. I haven't used it in quite a while. It might have been 16 volt. It just steps up in little steps, and you can switch that switch for whatever project you need it for. If you start getting a little more serious about electronics, the next thing you're probably going to want a bench power supply, because you're going to have all your electronics out on a desk somewhere, and you're not going to want to just I used batteries forever, like a breadboard with a 9 volt clipped into it, and then I'd have to, you know, reduce the voltage with resistors, and it just, you're going to want to step up to a power supply at some point. And power supplies are fairly inexpensive. And I'll get into, well, and they can be fairly expensive as well. What I have is a Tech Power. I think it was like $50. It's a cheap little 0 to 30 volts DC, 0 to 3 amps. It's a switching power supply. Switching power supplies are less expensive. The other style power supply you can get from your bench is a linear power supply. And let me just talk about the differences between the two. The switching power supply is going to be small, lightweight, fairly lightweight. I mean, there's different size ones, and you know, but mine's pretty small. It's 6 inches high by maybe 3.5 inches wide, and depth is maybe 10 inches. You guys can convert that to whatever other weird numbers, cubits or whatever you guys use. And then It's on the front is voltage and current, two knobs, and coarse and fine. So you can go from 0 up to 30. This one actually puts out like, it'll do 31 point something, but probably under a load, it would pull that back down to 30. And let's say you need 9.7 volts. You can go coarse until you get to 9, and then you can use fine until you get to that 0.7. So it's come in handy. The only thing with switching power supplies are they are switching at very high frequencies inside them. And sometimes they make this really high-pitched whine. And some people can hear it and some people can't. I can hear it. This thing drives me crazy. It's, I don't know if anybody remembers like an old tube TV when you were a kid or something, a big tube TV. Did any of you ever hear like a high-pitched whine coming out of it? I used to have to go up and smack the side of our TV and that would go away. I don't know what the smacking was doing, like resetting a tube or something, but I can hear this high-frequency switching and my wife can't. I had her in the room one time. I go, you can't hear this? You can't hear this? And I'm switching it on and off. So if you're susceptible to hearing this, like a very, I can't mimic it because it's higher than that. Switching power supplies might put out this sound. So the other type of power supply would be a linear power supply. And what those have is large transformers in them. Sometimes it's a toroidal transformer. Those look pretty neat. Look up a picture of those. It looks like a big donut with copper wrapped around it and the taps come out. And what those do is they generate their voltage and they will use physical relays in there and different switching to go through and give you whatever voltage you're trying to dial in. However, these are usually large units and they can get hot and then they need cooling. So you're either going to get this switching power supply, very high frequency buzz you're going to put up with, or you're going to have a linear power supply with no buzz, but sometimes a big fan might kick on. So those are pluses and minuses. Another thing with power supplies, and I wish I got this on just like fair warning. My power supply, when you turn it on, it's live. It's the voltage is going to the end of the probes. I wish I had a button on this to turn the output on and off, because sometimes I have the probes hooked to a piece of equipment and I go to change the voltage. If you have a very sensitive piece of equipment and the voltage is always going to the end of the probes, you don't want to overshoot when you're using your coarse knob. If you got a 3.3 little, you know, I don't know, Arduino or something, you don't want to move that coarse knob and go up into 4 volts just for a second by accident and then come back down. You'll probably start frying things. So, and actually, this did bite me once. A previous HPR, again, the one with the DSO Nano 138 oscilloscope kit. If you listen to that episode, you'll see that I got into trouble with the board and I may have fried something. And it was because of this power supply. Well, it was because of me. But the way I was holding the probes, because there was no way to turn off the voltage of the probes without turning the whole unit off, I was holding live probes in my hand and I touched a board and, you know, bad things happen. So that's one thing I wish. I mean, if I get another power supply, I'm definitely going to make sure it has an output on-off button. You turn the output off, you do all your dialing in, you figure out what voltage you want, make sure everything's hooked up and clipped right, and then you just hit one button and your voltage comes out nice and clean. Clean. We should talk about clean. Some cheaper power supplies, they might have overshoot or undershoot. When the voltage is applied, if you want, we'll just use 9 volts. Just research a power supply that you're going to buy and figure out the overshoot, undershoot, and if it's acceptable to you. If you want 9 volts and the cheaper power supply you have, you hit the output or you turn it on and it overshoots to 10 or 11 volts and then settles to 9 very quickly, but you still have that overshoot of voltage there. So just be warned. Figure out what class of power supply you're going to get into. I mean, I'm sure if you're into electronics to the point where you're researching the spec sheets of this stuff, you know what you're doing, you know. But I'm just warning for if anybody like hears this and gets inspired to step up from, you know, using batteries to getting a bench power supply, I'm just giving you, you know, some gotchas or some things to look out for. So when I got this little, I should take a picture of these and I can show you. These, yeah, I plural, so I'm going to talk about another one in a minute. When I got this and I heard that high frequency noise, I could hear it. My computer room is about Oh, maybe 14 by 10 feet. Oh, anyways, I do electronics in one corner of the room, and the computer is in a complete opposite corner of the room. And even when I'm sitting over at the computer, I can tell if I forgot to turn off the power supply, because I'll just hear that high-pitched whine. I did start researching linear power supplies, and I did find one that I was going to buy, and it's good to read the reviews, because that one did say the fan kicks on once in a while, and it's like a jet engine. So far, I've just been putting up with this bench power supply that I have. It's a little cheap unit. Someday, if I upgrade, I may get another switching power supply, and I'm definitely going to get one with the on-off button, or the output on-off. But I'm going to research better and see what the high-frequency noise is that comes out of it. Read some reviews and see if I can get a better one. Another power supply that I recently ran into, and this goes back once again to that, you know, I bought that $22 oscilloscope kit, innocently enough, let's put together a kit, but it's been hours and hours of troubleshooting, which have been a lot of fun. The troubleshooting has been fun. But that $22 kit gets me on Amazon one night, and I buy another $100 power supply. So it's in front of me right now. When I said earlier that I looked in the basement for a wall wart to plug into this kit so I could bring it to the lug and we could troubleshoot what might be the problem with it, I couldn't find a wall wart. So I didn't know how, when I brought this board to the lug, how we were going to power it to even like stick a meter on it and try and figure stuff out. And I'm on Amazon and I'm looking for, I think I was looking for one of those, the wall warts that you could switch back and forth, which I have one, but I don't have the different barrel ends. It comes with a whole bunch, all the different barrel ends you need. And then the actual wall wart wires itself are just two prongs. So you pick whatever end you need, whatever diameter, and stick it onto those two prongs, and it gives you that round barrel. Oh, another gotcha. I just thought of this. Some of those barrels, the outside is negative and the inside is positive. And some of them, it's the other way around. The inside is negative and the outside is positive. So always take a meter when you get a random wall wart and figure out what's positive and what's negative, because you don't want to feed something backwards. Anyways, the $22 kit gets me to buy a $100 power supply. This is also a switching power supply. And surprisingly enough, this one makes no noise. I can't hear any noise. But it is the size of a multimeter. It's a 30 volts at 1.6 amps. And it's a little power supply that goes in my hacker bag now. So now the hacker bag has its own power supply. It's made by Tech Power. It's a TP3016M. So let me turn it on. So now, you know, that mobile hack space, that blue hacker bag, which I did at HPR years back about like what's in my bag. I talked about this. It keeps accumulating interesting things. And this is a recent interesting thing that it got. So I'll take a picture of this or maybe link it in the show notes. Let me plug it in here and turn it on. Yes, plug it in. That's one of its downsides. It's been pretty good. There's no noise to this one. I'm holding it right up to my ear now. It has a nice big screen, and it has a backlit. It automatically comes on. It's white. This, so far, it's been a cool unit. You hit enter, and then you have up, down, left, right, and you can change your voltage, your current, and then it does have the output on, off. It's a big, looks like a power button, but it's not a power button. It just sends output to the output. Did that make any sense? Yeah, I suppose it did. It's like a redundancy output. The other thing it will do, it has two USB ports, so you can charge a phone on it, or you can run a RPi out of this thing, so you get 5 volts at 2 amps. So this has been a pretty neat portable power supply. The only downfall for it is there's no on-off switch. I don't know why they didn't put a switch or a soft button. The only way to turn it off is to pull the plug out. So what I did was I ordered the power for it is like lamp cord. If you're familiar with lamp cord, the two wires going, and some lamps you can have a little tiny rocker switch or a little roll, switch that you keep rolling to turn the light on and off. So I'm going to modify this cord that it came with. I already got the rocker switch. It's just an on-off, up-down red button. And I'm going to cut one of these wires in here. I'm going to find the hot wire and put that on the switch, but this is the type of cord where you can just flip it back and forth or plug it either way in the main. So one of these wires is going to have a switch on it, so I don't have to keep plugging this in and out. If something doesn't work for you, find a way to hack it. It also has a dedicated button for USB. You press that, it turns green. It automatically. You might be up at 30 volts, but it automatically brings things down to 5 volts to 2.5 amps. So that's a safety feature so you don't blow up your phone or whatever you're doing with USB. The only thing this won't do is go completely down to 0 volts. It's like 1, it's like a 0.3. Well, let me try and do it right now. Set my voltage. Yeah, 0.3. It'll only go down to 0.3 volts. It won't go to completely to zero with the dial button. Of course, it goes to zero if you turn the output off. But if it's important for you to, if it's important that you have a power supply that goes completely to zero, this isn't it. But it's so cool. It's like it fits. There's a part of my hacker bag which is supposed to be where you put like a thermos and maybe your sandwich. It's like a tool bag. I got it. I was at some like electrical convention or something. And the raffle ticket, I won this weird little bag. And it's a tool bag. You put tools, there's pouches on the outside, the inside. And then up at the top is a pouch where you're supposed to bring your lunch to work, I guess. So it's a little bagged area that has some like thermal lining in it, so it'll keep something cold or hot. That's where I put all my meters. It's a nice little padded area, and I just stack them up sideways. So the Unity's in there now, and now that Owan, the B35T, is in there, and then this Tech Power stacks in there nicely. And then right next to that is a portable butane soldering torch. So that fills that compartment nicely. However, I am running out of room in that hacker bag. If I get any more tools, something's going to need to be done. Oh, and I just remembered one other cool thing. I should link this too. I'm thinking about getting it. I'm sure you all know what a breadboard is, and you know, you put your through-hole components and you can build up and test something before you want to go and put it on, you know, actually solder it to a board or go and etch something. I saw one recently. It was on eBay, I think. It's just your normal-looking breadboard, and you can use the device it's going to come with any breadboard. And on a breadboard, up at top and at the bottom, there are two sets of holes, and that's where you would put, like, plus and minus. Like, you might put a 9-volt battery and put the plus and the minus in there. And then all along the breadboard on the bottom, you have a plus, you have a negative and a positive, and you can just bring jumpers out to whatever device needs some power. This $7 item that I saw on eBay, it's a breadboard, and then at the end is a little device you clip on, and it goes into the top and the bottom, those two rails that provide power down the breadboard. And then on that, it plugs in with a wall wart, and then it has some power, like power conditioning and rectification. And then there's a little switch where you can have 0 volts, like off, or you go one way and you got 3.3, or you go down the other way and you got 5 volts. So that's perfect for, that would be a perfect upgrade for the breadboard that I have now, where I have to run leads out or alligator clip onto jumpers and stick it into those two power rails. So, and $7, like $7 delivered out of China. I don't know how stuff gets here so cheap sometimes. So there you have it. It's just, I thought I'd just do a quick HPR while I was sitting here at the bench with a couple power supplies out and just talk about my experiences with them. And if you're in the market for a power supply, hopefully you got something out of this, like what to look for or what not to look for. So if anybody wants to chat on GNU Social/Identica, I am nybill@sn.gunmonkeynet.net. Email is nybill@gunmonkeynet.net. Email is nybill@gunmonkeynet.net. And as always, we could have a conversation in the HPR comment section if you'd like. I'll check back with that. Okay, until next time, guys.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.